You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
The oceans of the world were the home of Big Blue. He was the greatest monster that the world ever knew. And the place that he loved best was the waters to the west. Around the blue Pacific, he did roam. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates the work of Gordon Lightfoot song by song, a proud member of the FM Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and along with me is a fellow Lightfoot fan making her, my goodness, eighth appearance on the show, Deb Radwan. Deb, welcome back. It's great to talk with you again.
Thanks. I enjoy this so much.
Now, today we're talking about Ode to Big Blue, which is not among his best known songs, but one that also got a decent amount of concert play. So I guess what I'm wondering is, why did you want to talk about that one in particular today?
Well, anyone who knows me knows that I'm a huge whale lover. I've been down to Baja, I've pet them, I've kissed them, I've probably been out on boats hundreds of times. I've seen blue whales up close and personal. They are enormous. They are gentle. When you look at one in the eye, and this is really with any whale, but because of the enormity of the blues, when you look at them in the eye, it's like you're looking into the universe. It is a spiritual experience. For me, there seems to be some connection. They are just amazing. And when you hear them blow, it's one of the most beautiful sounds there is. They are just so powerful and big and majestic, and they live for 100 years and they just have my heart. And so when Gord wrote this song and I heard it, it really touched me because I'm all about protecting the whales and respecting them. And I was so glad that he found this a worthy topic for a song.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what motivated him to write it. Do you have a special anecdote or a particular instance or story about how the song impacted you? We've talked about the idea of your mindset in terms of the ocean and in terms of blue whales, but the song in particular, is there an event where it really hit home?
Well, not so much an event. It's just the idea of drawing attention to their plight. He's so good, and I know we'll talk more about this, but with the words and the instrumentation conveying the power of these animals, this is one of those songs that really, it's like an onomatopoeia. It sounds like the whale, even though whales don't make a sound except for their blow, but that driving force and the music and the message, and I just love it.
And I don't blame you at all. And my wife has a particular affinity to this because she grew up on the coast and literally like 30 feet from the surf.
Wow.
So she is familiar with this.
Right.
I think for me, it's a little less personal, although I certainly appreciate the idea of preserving nature. And I'm dead set against anybody who wants to wipe out a species. But I think more generally for me, it's just reinforcing this idea that Gord was impacted by nature. He was obviously very conscious of it. And maybe he had a little resentment towards the hunting of whales for sport. And maybe just the whole idea of whaling. And I figure that anybody who's written a song about Don Quixote probably has read that book and has probably read Moby Dick too. I think there's a good chance that although he's never alluded to that specifically, what about a locale for you to be listening to this song? Is this something that I'm going to have this particular set of circumstances where I this is just going to be the soundtrack of that experience, or could you listen to this at any time?
Oh, no. All the time, anytime. Probably I listen to it mostly in my car, but anytime. And especially if I'm on my way to go whale watching or have just gone whale watching, you know, it's particularly poignant, but I could listen to it all the time. In my mind, it's a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah. For me, I would want to listen to this in the coffee house, unless there was, like, I was sitting at a cafe overlooking the sea, and it was a warm day, and, you know, I wasn't going to be freezing with the winds coming off the ocean, and somebody was playing it live, or if I had my headphones on. Those would be the two real scenarios for me. Going back to the origins of it, this is what Lightfoot said about the song, and I'm quoting directly. A lot of people were killing whales at that time, so I thought it was time to write a sort of protest song. Environmental activism was kind of swelling in the early 70s, and then it subsided. Singers like John Denver got involved in the movement back then, but I didn't really step into the fray on that front until about 1989. End of quotation. Now, we also know that Gord was really into seafaring songs, and he wrote a bunch of them. And Christian Island is also on the Don Quixote record, which talks about his love for the sea. And we've done that on the show, I think, in our first season. Do you have any other insight as to how the song got written, when it got written, what motivated him, anything like that?
You know, I don't, other than two forces, I think, in Gord's life, and that was his love of nature and particularly of the ocean. You have Christian Island, Whispers of the North, Ringneck Loon, Seven Islands Suite, Triangle, all these songs that have a nautical theme. He did love the ocean and he loved being on it. He loved steering his boat. So I think that was one of the things that was innate in him, that when he heard about this, it probably propelled him toward writing a song. But also, you know, we don't think of Gord as writing protest songs or things like a Bob Dylan. But in reality, he has quite a few. He had Ode to Big Blue. He had Black Day in July. He had Cherokee Bend. Even Too Late for Praying, he's making a statement. The war song, Sit Down, Young Stranger, Home from the Forest. So he does have a catalog of songs that are protesting something. And I think Ode to Big Blue was just another one of those concerns and causes that he wanted to write about. Even on that album, Patriot's Dream, another kind of protest song. I think that was just part of who he was. And that whole album is so rich anyway, but you got a couple protest songs, you got a couple ocean songs, and I think that just speaks to who he was and what he loved.
And it certainly proves that his conscience was not restricted to just one set of values. I mean, there are a lot of things that he really cared about. This is, I suppose, a subtle sort of protest song. I think it's more of a fable than anything else, because it does sort of have a beginning, middle, and end, but it doesn't go in. You don't learn anything about Big Blue except the facts.
That's exactly the same way in Cherokee Bend. It's a message song, but he tells it through storytelling.
And I'm old enough to remember that there was an environmental movement, and Greenpeace was a big part of that in the early 70s and the mid 70s. But by the time we get to the 80s, people are laughing at it, frankly, because it has become repetitious. It's become a little bit cliched. It's because people are looking at it as hackneyed, all of those kinds of things. It's unfortunate, but that's the way people's fashions worked. And in the 80s, it was very easy to mock what happened in the 60s, because that was a generation where people wanted to pretend like the 60s never happened. Yeah. You want to pretend like everything just the way it was in the 50s. So let's take a look at the lyrics a little bit. The oceans of the world were the home of Big Blue. He was the greatest monster that the world ever knew. And clearly we're talking about a blue whale. It's interesting that they're talking about blue whales as monsters, because blue whales are absolutely harmless to humans. And if they do harm to humans, it's more or less accidental. They're certainly not predators on humans. So do you think it was just they were called monsters just because of their sheer size that they were
I think that's what it is. It's just a reference to their enormity. They're 200 tons. They can grow 100 feet. Their tongues are as big as a school bus. So I think that reference to monster is just about how big they were.
So the word monstrous, meaning their size, not necessarily their character.
Right. Okay. I think so.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.